attention, all personnel. Incoming choppers with wounded. Report to the hospital.
And happy new year to everybody from everybody here at the Gadget Grill. Welcome to another year of the Gadget Grill. I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Jason Murray.
And I'm so sorry. I'm Alex Arush.
It's good. Look, it's always good to start the year with an apology.
It is, I think
we've come out of the gates swinging, and we will intend to fill the rest of the year with as many apologies as possible.
I may even bring in Phil the Garden Gnome at some point this year.
Please don't do that, Gary.
Why not? Phil is a very good producer.
I got nothing.
Okay. Welcome. Welcome to the show. It is another year. 2018 has come, it has gone, and here we are now. I woke up a couple of days ago, I looked at the calendar, and oh my God, 2019.
Yeah, we're still here.
Look, it could be worse.
We haven't been kicked off the air.
It could be worse. You could have been the person who was putting the graphics up on the Sydney Harbour Bridge pylon on New Year's Eve.
I could have indeed. Somebody... blew that one, well and truly, didn't they?
I believe the phrase you're searching for is somebody royally forked up.
Yes, they did. They did.
I may have been watching a bit too much Good Place lately.
I don't want to do 2018 again.
No. I don't think it's a good idea.
2018 is not something that is worthy of repeating. And judging by the first few days so far of 2019, it's going down a similar gurgler, I think. There's not a lot good to report on for the first few days of the year, is there?
I don't know. What's been bad?
Well, if we're talking politics,
the U.S. government is still shut down.
Pardon?
The U.S. government is
still shut down. The U.S. government is shut down. The United States has shut down.
Yeah. There's Nazis marching in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and we have one of our beloved senators who travelled all the way from Queensland. A Queensland senator believes it's in his constituents' interests to travel on the taxpayer dollar from Queensland to Melbourne to march with the Nazis.
Well, to be fair, we don't know if it's taxpayer funded yet.
No, we do. He said that this is appropriate for his constituents.
Oof.
Hmm. Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Point forward to 2020.
Yeah. I don't look. You may not want to do that. I don't know. I don't know quite what's going to happen over the course of the next 12 months. It might be wise to write it out and see.
But also, let's take 12 months. Blade Runner was set in 2019.
That's right.
So
yes.
Do we get cool costumes?
No.
Do we get? I've got a DVD set of a few different versions of Blade Runner, and it's in.
It's a DVD. So is it like anamorphic widescreen?
It's not actually DVD. These are
Betamax.
Hang on. No. It is DVD, and it's got a few different versions, different cuts.
Alex, they're video CDs.
No.
They're totally video CDs.
Yeah,
just covering.
No, different cuts, and this is high definition from around about 2002.
DVDs weren't high definition.
I didn't know that you could get Blade Runner on VCD.
Shut up. Talking of VCD, is 2019 going to be the year of 4K TV? What are we going to see? Because we are on the cusp.
8K?
We are on the cusp of the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. We have friends who are over there who will be ringing us back and telling us all of the exciting stuff that they're seeing.
They're not going to make phone calls. They'll treat us like civilized people.
They will send
MP3 files.
Exactly.
Nobody uses their phones to make phone calls.
I know.
Crazy talk.
I know.
What do you think 5G is for, voice?
Well, nobody uses their phones for making phone calls even these days. You know, it's a camera. It's a music player. It's everything but a phone, isn't it?
Pretty much,
yes.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to find out over the next few days with CES opening in Las Vegas.
We'll find out what new things your phone can do that do not involve placing phone calls.
Oh, no, yes. We're waiting until Barcelona for that.
Yes.
No, there'll be more.
We'll be bending over backwards to find out.
Is that a foldable
phone, Joe?
Okay. That is a future possible phone joke. Okay. Yes. Okay. During,
bendy phone.
During the week.
No, they already did the bendable iPhone.
Right. They did the bendable iPhone. They did the bendable iMaps, didn't they?
Several manufacturers have made bendable Android phones as well.
Yes, they have, and some of them bend when you apply heat or when the battery overheats. During the week, a gentleman by the name of Ray Sawyer passed away.
Oh, good. We're at the point of the show where we find out who's no longer with us.
That's right. Yeah. The week has started off fairly sadly with Ray Sawyer passing.
So, how come you didn't do this when I was like, what's been so bad about 2019? Like, we went all like Nazis in Melbourne and Fraser Anning. Like, we could have just gone to like musical deaths.
Well, we could, but
we would have had to go straight to a song.
I have to pad for time, and then we would have had to go straight to a song, whereas now I can go straight to a song. Ray Sawyer was the singer behind Dr. Hook, the band Dr. Hook. And
is he related to Dr. Feelgood?
No. Oh. And this is...
He's the one that makes you feel all right, apparently.
Make you feel real good now. This is Dr. Hook, Only 16.
She was only 16, only 16, but I loved her so. She was too young to fall in love, and I was too young to know. We'd laugh and we'd sing and do funny things, and it made our hearts glow. But she was too young to fall in love, and I was too young to know. So why did I give my heart so fast? It never will happen again. But I was a mere child of 16. I've aged a year since then. She was only 16, only 16. Ooh, with eyes that would glow.
On Radio 2 RDJ 88.1 on the FM band and Radio 2 RDJ.com on the web. And it's time to get stuck into a bit of news. We've got a few weeks to catch up on.
We
still have a few weeks to catch up on.
Do we actually have a few weeks to catch up on, or are we just going to ignore them?
Oh.
No, I think we're going to catch up on them.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's going to start with the catch up?
Cool. I'll start with a bit of big news that happened this week.
Nice of you to step forward and volunteer for this, Alex.
You're welcome, Gary.
Thank you, sir.
So, there was some big news out of Apple this week. Tim Cook published a letter to investors warning of weaker than expected first quarter earnings.
Indeed, he did.
Citing fewer customers upgraded iPhones than they had anticipated. So, they've slashed as much as US $9 billion. Off their first quarter revenues, which is a big number.
It is a very big number.
We should remember it's a day's profit.
Yeah, it's not quite, but actually,
almost.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did they slash anything off the price of their phones?
No.
Okay.
Apple's not going to do that.
No. I saw one headline that I thought was rather cute, because after this was published, somebody came out and said, "Apple crumbles."
Ah, very nice. Yeah. So the logical headline really, to follow.
They're really not crumbling. This isn't as big a deal as people are making out to
be. No, it's not.
The logical headline to follow will be that when sales recover, it's an Apple turnover.
Indeed.
Badum-dum-tsh. So Tim Cook's,
I saw what you did there.
So we're saying of a weakened demand came primarily from China, although noted that iPhone upgrades were also not as strong as expected in some more developed markets. And reasons were suggested the launch timing, the strength of the US dollar, which actually has put up iPhone pricing in Australia, about like $50-$60 over last year. And he also said that cheap battery replacements, as we saw last year, hurt iPhone sales, because if you replace your battery on an old iPhone, it's still pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, very true.
You know, a three-year-old iPhone is still a very good phone.
Or 5 year old iPhone is still a pretty good phone. The iPhone 6 is still pretty great.
Yeah. Jason.
So, like, in keeping with the theme of billions, I've got a few things that mention billions tonight. So the first thing is
obviously none of them are my bank balance.
Unfortunately, not. They're not damn mine you. Either. They are, however, Epic Games' bank balance, which is now valued at $15 billion because over
Fortnite.
Fortnite has hit $3 billion in profit for the company. So if you've seen a young person on the street doing a weird dance you don't quite understand, they probably play Fortnite and they're probably contributing to Epic Games' bottom line.
Back in my day, that was DDR.
Yeah, but they, like, you didn't do DDR on the street.
Oh.
Or didn't you?
Did you? We rolled out those arcade machines.
Back in my day, that was excessive alcohol consumption.
It still is, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, have you tried playing Fortnite sober?
I have not tried playing Fortnite.
Is that a game, Fortnite Sober? It sounds like it would be less popular than Fortnite. Okay.
Carry on, Jason.
Shall we move on?
Please do.
I'm going to go on with one more because I've got a billion mentioned in here as well.
Okay.
Some interesting statistics have emerged over the holiday period of some picture of who's done well out of smart speaker sales. Turns out the Amazon Alexa app has hit number one in the Google Play and the Apple App Store over the Christmas holidays.
Interesting.
Indicating an uptick in people setting up new Alexa-powered devices. And so, that's done fairly well. It's one of its main competitors. The Google Home app was number three in the Google Play Store and number seven in the Apple App Store.
What was number two, Apple?
It wasn't an AI speaker app.
Oh.
There's been a bit of...
You don't need to download the HomePod app. It comes preloaded on your phone.
Right.
Ah, there you go, yeah. There's been a bit of a study done over the last few weeks about different AI assistants and how smart they actually are. The top awards have gone to the Google Assistant, saying that it's understood the context of the questions that were asked of it most of the time, but it answered correctly 87% of the time. And there is some competition looming, but right now that's quite a clear lead over the rest of them. And there was also a little bit of news from Google this week that Google Lens can now recognize 1 billion, there's that number, products.
Okay.
So they've fed TensorFlow, which is their image recognition engine. They've fed TensorFlow enough details about products for it to recognize 1 billion of them.
Interesting. While we're talking about smart devices, Philips Hue. As you guys know, one of the things that I really don't like is when you buy an electronic product, some sort of a so-called smart product, and they make you log in and sign up with themselves as a service provider.
Strap in, Alex. We're going to be here for a while.
Yeah. They make you sign up.
Did you bring any coffee?
Services. Shut up.
I got water.
Shut up. Pay attention. They make you sign up with their service as a service provider and make you create an account with them just so you can operate your device.
They need to provide a service to make the device work.
Well, they shouldn't have to provide a service to make your light bulbs work.
Is it going to work off hopes and dreams?
Well, yes, it is. It should work just, you know, sort of connecting to your Wi-Fi at home. But over
you need to secure it.
If it's connected just purely internally within your home, then there's less need for security.
I think you can just do that via HomeKit then, but you're not an Apple person, so...
Well, with Hue...
You know what you could do that would solve a lot of your problems?
Shut up. I don't have problems. with Philips Hue over the Christmas period, a lot of people bought them, and their servers were overloaded and went down for several days.
I didn't know that.
And what that means is that if you wanted to turn on or off your lights, because you weren't able to access their servers...
Oh, you'd have to go to your light switch like a pleb.
Well, maybe. But my point remains solid that having to rely upon a third-party service to do some of these simple tasks is inane.
You rely on a third party to manufacture your light bulb. That's your problem.
They can manufacture the light bulb.
You need to make your own light bulbs, Gary.
Well, there you go. You're a bright spark, you are.
You need to install smart candles.
Jason, will you go and stand in the corner, please? Alex, what's your next story?
So we've had a few phone leaks this week. One of the big ones was...
Did your phone have a leak?
Yeah.
No, it's waterproof.
You know, like there was a storm yesterday. I was like caught in the rain a little bit.
Don't talk to me about storms. Don't talk to me about
storms. It's well known that Gary does not like the Melbourne storm.
Nokia's,
there is that too.
Yeah, Nokia's latest flagship smartphone, Lumia 9. Sorry.
Not the Lumia, right?
The Nokia 9 PureView popped up in a video. And the really interesting thing about it is it's got five cameras on the back.
I was going to say, is 9 the number of cameras on it?
Possibly. It might have four cameras on the front.
That'd be amazing. That hasn't been done since Amazon decided it was a bad idea.
With five cameras, it needs a bloody backpack, doesn't it?
It probably has one.
Right. Oh, no, it's just like a terrifying like spider combination. Like it looks like it's going to eat you.
Yeah.
I'll put it up to the microphone so everyone can see.
Thank you.
But so apparently the five cameras will work in tandem to capture more detail than a phone normally would, and apparently 10 times the light of any other smartphone camera.
10 times the light? Captures 10 times the light?
Yeah.
If you turn 10 lights on before you take the photo.
What's the maximum aperture on all of the lenses across
We don't know.
We don't know. It's a leak.
Yeah, it's a leak. Okay. We'll have to wait and find out.
So 10 times the light when you've got some cameras that have got an f1.2 lens, 10 times the light, it's going to be about f8.
Yeah.
F.8, sorry.
So it's a leak, right? So like it's a bit of marketing material and some marketing guff.
Oh.
So, yeah, fair enough.
Oh. You know how to spell marketing, don't you?
I know what you're doing.
B-U-L-L-S-H.
You could just go with BS.
Bullshit.
Yes.
I think we should all adopt the language from The Good Place. Sorry, Alex, were you finished? I think we jumped in with the mockery too soon.
It might be unveiled at Mobile World Congress in February, but there is a suggestion that we might see it before the end of this month. So
we might see it tomorrow.
We might.
Mm. You mentioned there's some other smartphones that have been leaked as well.
Oh, yes. The Galaxy S10 popped up apparently in person, and it's got a hole in the screen.
Yep. It's a holy screen. Holy moly.
Is the screen
It's
vulnerable?
A hole. Yeah. It's got a hole.
Yeah.
Possibly two in the case of the S10 Plus.
I think the nicer way of putting it is a camera cutout.
Yes.
Yes. And we have seen some early leaks of the Huawei P30.
So what is a camera cutout? Let's.
So we actually talked about this just on the last show of last year. So the camera cutout is a hole in the screen through which the camera can see the outside world. So it's supposedly a more palatable notch.
Depending on your aesthetic. I'm really not a fan of the look.
So I'm not a fan of the look, but put one in front of me and I'll see how I feel.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of creativity going on around getting around notch designs, and the camera cutout is one. I don't hate it. Yeah.
I just think
to which you say Buenos notches.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Facebook. More.
How is it that you've got a news story about Facebook?
Because it's a bad story about Facebook.
Of course
again.
It is. Go on. Oh, well, there aren't any good ones about Facebook at the moment, but go on.
That is very true. A mob called Privacy International has analysed 34 apps on the Android operating system. The apps have got user bases of between 10 and 500 million, so these are not unpopular apps. And they have studied these, and they found that 23 of these apps sent data to Facebook the moment a user opened them, even though the person wasn't necessarily a Facebook user.
It's not great.
So Facebook actually does provide tools for developers to do in-app analytics, similar to what Twitter does. And so I think that's what they're probably doing.
But it's providing a hell of a lot more than just analytics, of course, because of how Facebook are. So.
Mm. Yeah, look, I've seen Facebook SDKs integrated into apps to do things like install tracking and stuff like that, responding to ad campaigns that might be paid for on Facebook as well. So it's a good way of actually tracking the results of that campaign. If someone sees that ad and they install the app, then they can put the two together.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So on the subject of privacy, we've been talking about the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas coming up this week. Apple's normally absent from the show, but this year a large billboard has appeared outside the convention center with an iPhone silhouette.
In Vegas, yes.
Yeah, and what happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone. Apple.com/privacy.
Has anyone contacted Jennifer Lawrence for comment?
Well, I've seen that comment, and I've also seen another comment that says, "Except when it doesn't." Which apparently is fairly frequently as well. And Apple are basically being hauled over the coals for this one because ain't true.
They're still better than Google and Amazon, and Facebook. Let's be fair. They have a lesser...
Well, yes, I will give you that.
Think about how much data your Android phone's giving to Google right now, Gary.
I know.
I can see it. Emanating from my phone. Yeah. I do want to ask the question though, like what exactly does it mean when it says that your data or whatever happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone? Because isn't there such a concept as syncing everything into iCloud?
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. So the idea, it's a play on the what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, Jason. And the idea is that when you buy an iPhone, you're not for product. You've bought a product. Mm. Like, there is a very thing, with a lot of Google services, you have a product. You're getting a free product in exchange for your personal information.
Last item, please, Mr. Faceplant Kid.
Last update.
It's nearly a year since that happened.
I'm going to shift one of these to the tech fail spot at the end of the show.
Okay.
The other story that I've got is an update on the Marriott Hotel hack from last year.
Oh, yes.
Marriott's been doing some due diligence on the data and the infiltration into their systems, and they've now come out and said everyone should be happy. It was not 500 million records that were accessed.
Oh.
Yes. No, it was only 383 million.
And if you're one of those 383 million...
I am. Actually, so I did receive the email from Marriott.
I got the email as well.
And so they've done a bit of
digging
into
it. Look at you guys staying in Marriott's.
I know. Right. Well, so it's not Marriott. It was the Starwood Hotel. It was the Starwood database that got hacked. They say that there was some unencrypted passport information, but most were encrypted. And they've also confirmed that prior to the existence and the knowledge of the hack and the infiltration, they had actually stopped using the system from which this information was
stored. And they've gone back to
papers and pens. Marriott has their own booking system, and when they acquired Starwood, they upgraded all of the Starwood systems to use the Marriott system instead of their own.
Okay, there you go.
Is it punch cards?
Yes.
You'll be punched in a minute.
Wow. I'm calling the police. Oh, are we going to listen to some of the police?
We're going to go to some other place. We're going to listen to Cold Chisel and an appropriate song for this time of year, Cheap Wine.
Appropriate for any time of year.
True. Put down a man's cigar. I drove a foreign car. Baby, that was years ago. I left it all behind. I had a friend, I heard she died. But on a needle she was crucified. Baby, that was years ago. I left it all behind for my cheap wine and a sweet day. Cheap wine and a sweet day.
caught back listening to the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ, 88.1 on the FM band, and radio2rdj.com on the web. And you've got something special to show us, Gary.
I have got something very, very nice in my hand. Let me turn it on, and let me just do a problem. That won't work because of that. Let me see if I can do this. Nah. That's not going to work for me now.
We probably need to tell people what it is by now.
Yeah. What I have in my hand is the Canon EOS R camera.
Say R.
R.
It's not Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Oh, damn. This is...
Okay, we'll go back to the segment in September.
Yeah.
This is the new... There we go.
There's a giant lens on that thing.
That's a very nice lens. This is their new full-frame mirrorless camera. And let me just explain a little bit of the jargon to you. Full-frame means that it's the equivalent image size of a 35mm film camera. So if you're thinking...
Question.
Yes?
What's a film camera?
Exactly. A film camera is the sort that I have a lot of at home.
Mm.
They use film... they take images onto a light-sensitive film.
Nah, you lost me.
Okay. Yeah. And you develop the film and you send it off to the chemist and you get your photos back a week later.
So you can't put it in your pocket?
Does it have
depends Google, on your pockets.
Does it have Google Photos integration?
No, it does not.
I mean...
And I run apps on it.
If you scan it.
Yes.
Yep. We're going to talk about that next
week.
We'll
talk about scanning next week.
Yeah.
Oh, how exciting.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. So it's a full-frame camera. Mirrorless means that with a typical single-lens reflex camera, you have a mirror box. What happens with a mirror box is that it gives you a mirror where you can mm-hmm. see the what you're going to take through the lens that takes the photo. And there's a motor in there that flips the mirror out of the way so that the
the light can hit the sensor.
The light can hit the sensor when you take the photo, and then the mirror comes back. Now, that takes up space and adds weight to the design of a camera. So mirrorless cameras have been around for a little while.
But Canon's been quite slow to embrace it.
Well, no, Canon have had mirrorless for quite a while.
But no full-frame mirrorless.
But not a full-frame mirrorless. And the full frame is fairly new. Sony have had one out for a little while now. This is Canon's entry into the marketplace now with mm-hmm. a full frame mirrorless camera. And one of the problems for me with mirrorless cameras over a long period of time, because they've been around for 10 years now. Mm-hmm. They've been around for 8 or 10 years. For me, one of the problems has been what I call viewfinder lag. With no optical light path for the light to travel, because there's no mirror, then you have to rely on electronics so you can see what the camera is seeing before you take an image. Mm-hmm. And typically, cameras have had a little bit of lag, and it's only a few milliseconds. You know, it might be 5-10 milliseconds, whatever, which doesn't sound like a lot. But when you're trying to compose an image and you're anticipating something happening... and you're relying on what you're seeing in the viewfinder, I find that very difficult to cope with. And up until 2 months ago, the viewfinder lag in these cameras was, for me, intolerable, and it was a deal breaker. The Canon EOS R does not exhibit viewfinder lag.
It's really impressive.
It is very impressive. They've got the electronics right. They've got the...
There's a few bangs outside the studio yes. that we assume is just someone letting off a few New Year's Eve fireworks a little bit
late. Or it's the cops in the parking lot, we don't know.
Yeah.
But getting back to the point, the camera does not exhibit viewfinder lag, and it is a very, very high-quality camera. The first thing that impressed me with this, when I opened up the box and pulled it out, the build quality on this camera, we're talking...
It's quite hefty.
We're talking a $3,500 camera body, and it is hefty. This is professional quality gear. This is super professional. Mm-hmm. And I have not seen quality of this caliber in a Canon camera for a very, 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 very long time. This is really super solid stuff. It is It feels beautiful in the hand. You can use it either the viewfinder as an eye-level viewfinder, or you've got a flip-out viewfinder on the back.
For great selfies.
For great selfies. Yep.
Just looking at it sitting on the desk there as well, like I can see, even just like to the naked eye, I can see the body of the camera is thinner than like a traditional DSLR.
Absolutely. And the apparatus is gone. A typical DSLR will weigh a kilo, maybe a kilo and a half, depending upon the type of one. This one's about 680 grams body only.
Wow.
Yeah. So they've shaved a lot of weight off with the mirror box. It is thinner. You've got a new lens mount now.
Because I was about to say, we should talk about the lens mount, because you will need all new lenses if you are...
You can get an adapter.
Okay, that's also good.
That is also good.
So if you have Canon lenses that you're already using, then you will need to buy the adapter as well as the camera?
You would buy the camera, you would buy... I would be buying absolutely the two lenses that we have here. I'll talk about the two lenses that we have in a moment. And I would buy an adapter so that I could use my Legacy glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is Legacy glass a new term in the photographic industry?
No, not really. Not
I've
really.
Never heard it before.
But I
get it, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you talk about Legacy stuff in a lot of different things. Why not Legacy glass? Your existing glass, you know, because with a camera, your investment is in the glass.
It totally is.
And with the mirrorless cameras now, new mount, I can see people actually moving down this path. I think it's about 30 megapixel. I can't remember what the number is. It's more than enough megapixels, because megapixels don't matter. And you guys have both had a play with it. What did you think, Alex?
Yeah, it's not all. I played with it for like 3 minutes, but
yeah,
like it's a nice camera and be like something that'd be a lot of fun to tech around and have a bit more of an experiment with.
Okay. The lenses that they gave me two lenses, and I am very impressed with the glass as well. The first lens that they gave me was the new 24-105.
Which would be specific, loaned.
Loaned, sorry, yes.
Gave for review.
Gave for review, yeah, that they supplied. With the camera, there's a 24-105mm zoom lens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a slow lens. It's only an f4, but I have not had any issues with using it. I've been using the camera on full auto, aperture value, so I'm using the lens to set it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very nice lens. And this is basically a newer version of the standard 24-105 that you might get in your kit if you're using a 5D.
Mm.
5D Mark III, 5D Mark IV. That is typically the lens that you would use on that camera. Very, very nice. The other lens that they gave me, I'm drooling over. You know, I've had to wipe the control panel here down 3 times this evening. A 50mm f1.2. To break it down, it's a standard lens. F1.2 means it is fast, which means this is the sort of, on this camera, this is the sort of camera that you can go into your coal mine at night with the lights off and shoot a black cat in. It is that fast and it is that good. It is really, really, really very nice gear.
So the lenses that you're talking about, they're additional lenses, not the one that comes... Is there one that comes in the box?
No, well, it depends on which box you get.
Mm-hmm.
The camera costs around about $3,300 body only.
Okay.
So you buy the body, it's typical as you will with any high-end camera, and then you will choose lenses to go with the body. You'll get the 24-105, $1,500, $1,800, something around that mark. You get the 50mm 1.2. This is, it's just a beautiful lens. It is so solid. I'm not going to try this, but I reckon you could use it for hammering nails in when you're building your new house. It is, the construction here is that solid. It's a $2,000 piece of glass.
Can you do any of the funky things that you've seen appearing on some of the other DSLRs where like you can take a photo and it goes to your phone?
Absolutely, like absolutely. Wi-Fi? I could turn this camera on and I could show you the photos that we've just taken mm-hmm. on my phone. I've installed the app. It's got Wi-Fi built in. It's got Bluetooth built in, so you can absolutely transfer them from your camera to your phone. You can take photos from your phone, so you can have the camera sitting on a tripod somewhere. You can be 10, 20 feet away, whatever, some distance away.
So how many snags will you give it?
Pardon?
How many snags will you give it?
I would give it five.
Five snags out of five?
Five snags out of five. This is really...
And a few onions?
I would throw some onions.
The snags.
Yes, but the onions go on second, not first. The onions go on after the snag, not before.
So just quickly as well, so when you take a photo, does it get tagged with GPS information, things like that? Or is that an additional module still?
I have not checked that. I don't know. I believe it will do that. Mm-hmm. But I generally do not tag my photos with GPS. For me, that's a non-function.
Because, well, I do, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't because... That's a privacy issue for me, and you know how I am about those sorts of things.
But that's okay, because you don't use any cloud services to store your photos in. Cause like,
yes, I do.
No, well, you shouldn't be, right? Like, did you build them yourself, or are they third-party services?
Well, actually, I do have services that I do have at home, but that's not what I use for the photos.
Anyway, I was just sort of trying to get a bit of an idea of some of the other consumer features that are sort of in some of the lower spec models, whether they're coming up there.
This has got everything that you expect on a low-end camera. This is a high-end camera. It is designed with the professional in mind. It will do everything that you want and then some, and I'm very tempted. I am very, very tempted.
Gary's primary way of acquiring new cameras is reviewing them and then purchasing them immediately after, right?
Well, actually, no. No.
No?
I don't think I've ever purchased a camera after reviewing it, or of that of one that I've reviewed. And I've reviewed some cameras that I do want to purchase.
Tune in next week and talk about that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, that was the Canon EOS R. Very, very nice piece of kit. Thoroughly recommended. One other thing that it's got that's very nice. When you change lenses, it drops a little blind down to protect the sensor from dust.
Hmm.
So, you know, they've done a few little thoughtful things in there like that.
Smart.
Yes. This is Neil Diamond. Now, you guys will be familiar with some other versions of this song, but the original and the best.
Red, red wine, go to my head. Make me forget that I still need a soul. Red, red wine, it's up to you. Memories won't go. No memories won't go. I'd have sworn that with time parts of you would leave my.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet, radio2rdj.com. Alex,
we're looking at some.
Get out your crystal ball, please, and tell me what's happening.
Well, it's a new year, and It's going to be a long year, as always.
I think it's going to be about the same length as last year.
Yeah, same number of days.
Yeah, last year was a long year too.
Yeah.
So we should see some pretty exciting things happening in tech this year. One of the big things that will be happening is foldable smartphones. Samsung has confirmed plans to launch a foldable phone this year. We've seen a concept or a prototype of that. And it sounds like Oppo, Huawei, LG, and Xiaomi will also get amongst that trend.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my prediction is they're probably going to be not great to start with. I'm not really that excited by it. I'm super excited, actually.
I'm not.
Because it's a new form factor, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be something fresh. Especially because for the last 10 years, our phones have looked the same. They've gotten a bit bigger and a bit prettier. But we've been using the same.
Shut up.
They've fundamentally been the same kind of device. So it really is interesting to see manufacturers trying to tackle, I guess, a phone that's a two-in-one. Like a phone that's also your tablet.
Will a foldable phone go the way of 3D TV?
Possibly, but I'm still excited to try it out. And I think there's a lot of problems that need to be overcome, such as user interface, software optimization,
very quickly, Jason.
Battery life, etc.
Anything?
I don't know. I'm not there for the foldable phones.
But what's your prediction for 2019?
Well, look, we're going to see 5G phones this year. That's not a difficult prediction to make.
It's not.
Probably not heaps in Australia.
No. Although, so we did, I'm not sure that we talked about it or not towards the end of last year, but Telstra has turned on some of its 5G network in airports and some of their flagship stores. So if you have a mythical 5G phone with a Telstra SIM, you may be able to jump on one of their networks, but you probably can't.
Yeah. Right.
But I think they've got some base stations with Wi-Fi to show you how fast it is.
Yeah, it would be like the 2019 is going to be year of 5G mobile broadband.
This is Ray Brown and the Whispers, 20 miles. Back with the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at whatever it is that we're on the internet
radio
at.
Radio2RDJ.com?
Yes.
What an appropriate introduction to this week's tech failure.
Indeed.
It's not so much Jason. A tech failure this week, it's just a bit of an accidental whoopsie, but there was an auspicious Happy New Year tweet sent out on New Year's Eve, appropriately
as
enough,
you do,
from Huawei.
Who make Android phones,
and it was sent from an iPhone.
Indeed. Whoops.
Not a good look for the company. However, it has emerged that because Huawei is, of course, Chinese, Twitter is banned in China, they were attempting to send the tweet from a PC, and they had a VPN issue, so they used a foreign SIM card roaming in whatever they could lay their hands on nearby, which happened to be an iPhone.
There you go.
And two employees have been disciplined for causing harm to the company's brand.
I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I have been and will continue to be Jason Murray.
And I'm Alex Harosh.
You have been listening to The Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ.
I thought you were sorry.
I still am.
He will be. Maybe you'll both be sorry in a minute. You've been listening to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ, FM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet, radio2rdj.com. We'll be back next week, this year, and we will tell you what's happened this week in CES. This is Dizzy Gillespie and Manteca. Enjoy.